Welcome to the Salt Church Podcast. We're a church that meets in the heart of Wollongong. Come and visit us on Sundays, 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 275 Kira Street. We'd love to meet you.
Mind back across your life, I'm sure you can think of these moments, you know, maybe a fork in the road decision where you picked one path and you could never go back again. And maybe your Christmas was like this. Maybe you finally got the gift that will change your life forever, what you've always wanted. Some events change your life. Then there's also events that change everybody's lives, events that change the world. And COVID-19, that's a pretty obvious one. There's no place, there's no country that's been unaffected by coronavirus. I feel like we're almost in a new year, and just because it's a new year, I feel like I want to go, yeah, it's got to be done. But no good reason to expect it to be. In fact, new strands, looks like it might be getting worse in some ways. Today, we're going to look at an event that changes the world as well, an event that changes the world for the better, an event that's thousands of years in the making, a cosmic battle between good and evil, between the Son of God and the enemy of God. And it's an event that changes your life. And it starts with a hungry man walking in the desert on an extreme elimination diet. Now, let's have a look at Luke. We're going to work our way through it. Come back to Luke chapter 3. Now, this is the last thing that happens in the book of Luke. Jesus is baptized. So have a look in Luke 3 verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." There's this huge moment in the book. The heavens are ripped open, the Holy Spirit fills Jesus, and God's voice declares who he is. This is the Son of God, who's sent by God, who's loved by God, and Jesus is introduced to the world. And with an introduction like that, you're expecting something huge from Jesus. So have a look in chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Probably the biggest understatement in the Bible. 40 days, no food. That's the first thing he does. He wanders in the desert for more than a month on this extreme elimination diet. I read that and I want to know, how does he stay alive for that long without food? Don't you have the same question? But Luke doesn't tell us that. He actually tells us something more important. He tells us that he's not there by accident. So look at verse 1 again. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. God has sent him into the wilderness. And verse 2, he's there being tempted by the devil. It's not just the crowds who heard God say, "This is my Son." I take it that Satan heard that. And so the devil tempts Jesus. And devil is actually a job title. It's like a job description. Devil means slanderer or misrepresenter. It's what Satan does. He misrepresents what God's like. He misrepresents God's promises so that Jesus will stumble right out of the gate. And he tempts Jesus in three ways with three questions. Will you depend on your Father God? Will you worship your Father God? Will you trust your Father God? And every time, Jesus obeys his Father like no one ever has. So let's look at them. Will you depend on God? Well, the devil knows that he's hungry, and so look at verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Jesus quotes here from Deuteronomy 8. You can see in your little footnote. We read some of Deuteronomy 8 before. Andrew read it for us. Deuteronomy 6, sorry. Basically, 4,000 years ago, God promised to bring Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And he did. He brought them into their own land. He brought them through the Red Sea. Ignore that for a sec. He brought them through the Red Sea, through the desert. They didn't have any food, and so he made the sky rain with bread that they called manna, which means what is it? They didn't know what it was, so they called it what is it? That's what manna means. The sky rained with bread. They wandered in the desert for 40 years, and then on the edge of the land, they're about to go in, and Moses gathers all the people for one last sermon, and Deuteronomy is that sermon. And listen to what he says in Deuteronomy 8. "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors." Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The point is, God provides. You can depend on him. And in the desert, God tested ancient Israel to see if they would depend on him or to see if they'd take matters into their own hands. And in the desert, Jesus is tempted. And the devil says to him, "You're pretty hungry. You should make some bread." And the lure of the temptation is he going to take control into his own hands or is he going to depend on his Father? Just like ancient Israel were tempted. And Jesus says, "No, God will provide. I'm not going to seize control. I can depend on my Father. And in fact, more than bread, I need him. I need to hear and obey him." Jesus won, the devil zero. So he tests him again. Verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." I don't know exactly how this works, but I kind of imagine that Satan gives all these glimpses of all the capital cities of the world. You know, you got Paris and Beijing and London and Canberra. And he's got all these glimpses and he whispers to Jesus and he says, "These can all be yours, Jesus, with one small condition, that you worship me and then they'll all be yours." Which I reckon raises a question for us. I don't know if you had the same question. Is Satan lying here? Or does he have this power to give? Because he claims some pretty massive things here. "I can give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." Is he lying? He could be lying. That's a pretty common strategy of Satan. In John 8, Jesus calls him the father of lies. And he says, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I think there probably is lies in what he says to Jesus here. But maybe this is surprising. There's also a part truth. Have a look at some of these other verses that talk about the devil and Satan and what his rule is like. He's called the prince of this world, a royal title. He's called the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the atmosphere, ruler of creation in some ways. He's called the god of this age. He has some power, some control, some influence. In fact, the whole world is under the control of the evil one, 1 John.